morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment of Morning Reload. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Monday. As is normally the case with the Wyoming media, they've moved on. Pay no attention to what happened 2 weeks ago. None of it has any importance now. After all, now it's election season, and all the bullcrap that we hear every other year has already started. They'll be knocking on your door each and every opportunity they have to tell you how fabulously conservative they all are. But this year, not only do they have to contend with Cowboy State Politics exposing each and every little white lie they come up with, now they have to worry about the Independence Network, a full-blown internet radio station that broadcasts each and every day. There's a full schedule of original programming each and every day, which starts every morning at 9 a.m. with what we're calling the Morning Show. It's me, my pal Joey Carrenti, and this morning, the lovely Christine graced us with her presence. On this morning's program, I'm going to play you about the first 30 minutes of the Morning Show just to give you a taste of what you can expect on the Independence Network every weekday morning starting at 9. But before we do that, not that long ago, I had a chance to visit with my pal Laura Pearson, who's from the southwest part of the state. She's running for Fred Baldwin's old seat, and rumor has it she's going to end up running against former Redcoat Speaker of the House, Albert Somers. I say former Redcoat Speaker, not because he's entirely done. There's still some interim committee meetings that he has to officiate, but because he will be done, and he's already announced that he's not returning to the House of Representatives. But like I said, rumor has it he's probably going to end up running for the Senate. However, he's got to get past Laura first. Here's our conversation. Joining me this evening is my friend Laura Pearson. Laura, welcome to Cowboy State Politics.
Thank you, David.
So I hear that you've got an announcement that you want to make.
Yes. So I am running for the Senate District 14 in lieu of Fred Baldwin's resignation.
So where exactly does Senate District 14, where does that encompass?
Senate District 14 encompasses a little bit of Sublette, quite a lot of Lincoln, a little bit of Sweetwater, and Uinta counties.
It's a pretty good sized district then.
Yes.
Why now, Laura? Why have you decided, or why are you thinking about running for Senate 14?
I have a multitude of reasons. My most important reason is for my children and grandchildren. We as parents need to ensure that our children and grandchildren are protected. And rather than sitting at home complaining about the current situation our state and our nation are in, we need to be willing to get engaged and fight for their future.
I couldn't agree more.
I just see what's happening, and we need to protect them, and we need to give them the kind of, I look back at the way that I grew up, and a lot of the issues that are happening now, I can't believe it. And I don't want to see them have to deal with these things.
I completely agree with you. It scares me to death to think that a lot of these little kids that I meet every once in a while, they may not know the freedoms that you or I did growing up, and that just terrifies me.
Another reason I'm running is to prove to people that we don't have to settle. I talk to a lot of people, and they say it's just the way it is, or there's nothing that can be done, or many people that I talk to don't want to know, They just want to be at home, and they don't want to know what's going on in the world. So we need to start, in my opinion, saying no, that we aren't willing to compromise. This is why we are in the state that we're in. Our freedoms are being chipped away little by little in exchange for money, and You know, I don't know how many times in the last legislative session that people were like, well, we'll lose our federal funding if we do this. Are we going to have our freedom sacrificed, or are we going to sacrifice the funding?
Exactly right. Lord, do they like that funding.
Yeah, and that's what people need to think about, in my opinion.
Excellent. So, Laura, why don't you, before I let you go, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
I am a sixth-generation sheep rancher in southwest Wyoming. I'm a school bus driver, and I'm a wife and a mother and a grandmother, a small business owner. I have a hat business. I don't know, the hat business has kind of gone to the wayside a little bit because I'm so focused on trying to save our state. All of these things are very scary to me. You know, I'm tired of being lied to, the lack of transparency in our government.
That's a big one there.
People think that we, the little people, we, the working class, can't handle the truth, but we need to know the truth. And I've talked to former politicians that said, you know, and they flat tell me, you know, you can't always tell the truth. Well, why not? Why can't you tell the truth?
Exactly right.
Why are we being forced to accept lies to push a narrative? I'm tired. And I'm tired of seeing what's going on. And we just need to start fighting back. And I think if enough like-minded people are willing to get together, doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, or whatever, and try to save our state, that's what we need. So another reason that I'm running is I'm tired of seeing what's going on in our state with the growing government, the outrageous spending. And I just think that a lot of our legislators don't know or don't realize that we the people are watching. We the people are watching everything that they are doing, everything that they are saying. And, you know, this needs to end. This needs to end.
Well, I have to tell you, Laura, I like what I'm hearing. And I appreciate you taking the time to visit with me real quick this evening. And I'm excited to hear your decision.
Well, thank you, David.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
In full disclosure, Laura is a sponsor of Cowboy State Politics with her company New Trend Hats. I just thought I'd let you know about that so that everything is out in the open. One of the things that really needs to stop in the Wyoming legislature is this belief that just because you were elected to some office, that entitles you to another one. We see it all the time with legislative leadership. Just because you've been in the House for a really long time doesn't mean that you're going to make a very good Speaker of the House. Albert Sommers is a really good example of why we shouldn't even think about doing that. We need to get back to electing people of merit. And one of the only ways that we can do that is by exposing who people actually are, both good and bad. That's the main reason I started Cowboy State Politics, and it's one of the many reasons why we started the Independence Network. Speaking of that, in a moment we'll get to a brief excerpt from The Morning Show. But first, an absolutely outrageous profit timeout. Morning Reload is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a roping arena, or maybe you need a giant warehouse for your business, the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. So, doesn't matter what type of building you're thinking about, give Nick and Jesse a call. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. If you're thinking about moving to our great state, or if you already live here and you're thinking about selling your property, you need a real estate agent that you can trust. That agent is Rebecca Bextell at Compass Real Estate. She's lived in Jackson for around 20 years and has her fingers on the pulse of the real estate market, all the way from Devil's Tower to the Tetons and from Yellowstone National Park down to the swamp. Doesn't matter if you're buying or selling, Rebecca's your gal. Give her a call, 307-699-3519. One more time, 307-699-3519. The following advertisement was paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate.
I'm Reed Raisner, and I'm running for United States Senate because our politicians have forgotten what's important. They spend billions protecting borders in Europe and do nothing about our border. You deserve better. Wyoming deserves better. That's why I'm running, to serve you. Join me, and let's send new blood and a strong backbone to D.C. before it's too late. Go to ReedRaisner.com to learn more and join the fight.
And now, back to our program. Without further ado, here's what happened this morning on The Morning Show.
It's the illustrious from high above Wyoming mainstream media. Joined by Mr. Misdemeanor himself, the Saratoga Sledgehammer. Starting your day the right way on the Independence Network. It's time for the morning show with your hosts, David Iverson and Jailbird Joey.
Well, welcome back to the morning show. After a brief hiatus, I've got the lovely Christine in the studio with me, and joining us from Saratoga is none other than Joey Carrenti. Good morning, Joey.
Well, good morning out there in Sheridan. Looks like we got the whole state covered. We were in Cheyenne together for a little while, but now we're doing it from the north and south pole of the state. We're going to see how this works, doing it remotely on the morning show. But happy to have Christine here with us this morning.
Good morning.
Wow, you're so awake and happy.
You know what did it?
What was that?
It was that opening sound bite.
That's what it was.
That just brought me right out of my coma.
Fair enough. Well, how's the weather down there, Joey?
Better than a cup of coffee. What's that, bud?
I said, how's the weather down there?
Oh, it's not bad at all. We're already up into the mid-30s down here, and it looks like we're going to have pretty much spring-like weather, even though tomorrow will be the first official day of spring. And I don't know that we're getting much more winter, maybe a little bit over the next week and a half, but Wyoming's going to have an interesting fire season this year is all I'm going to say.
Oh, man. Well, up here in Sheridan, it's going to be 70 degrees today.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Get out them shorts and flip-flops and do what you can with what you got. But remember, everything that seems like a gift up front has work on the backside in Wyoming. And I'm telling you, over the summer, probably going to be dry. It's going to get a little warmer than we're used to, even though it's not global warming. But yeah, we'll pay for it eventually, even though we're enjoying it right now.
Well, I know that we'll probably have a good fire season. All I ask for is there's no smoke in the air in July, specifically July 20th.
What's happening July 20th?
A very, very important engagement.
It's an engagement?
Well, not an appointment. It's our wedding.
That's true. It is our wedding. Now, the question is, can you do anything in Wyoming if you're not from here? Are you from Wyoming, Christine?
Born and raised.
Yeah, me too. Joey, are you one of them Johnny-come-lately type of guys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Even though I showed up a long, long time ago, I don't know that I've met the basic standard for even saying I live here. I know I'm not graced with enough time in my background to say I'm from here. So it's only been 20 years. I mean, I can run for governor, but I'm not allowed to say I'm from Wyoming yet.
Well, you know, Joey, we did have a little St. Patty's dinner with David's parents yesterday, and we kind of had this discussion, and we figured, you know, you're going to have to be like 80, even if you were born here, before you can even say those things.
Well, Very likely. And yesterday being St. Patrick's Day, you know, for me, St. Patrick's Day is like Valentine's Day for people who like Jameson and bad decisions. But still, you would have had to have spent, I don't know, 150 historic St. Patrick's Days here with your family for the last 62,000 years in order to be considered a Wyomingite, I guess.
True. Uh-oh. I might be in trouble then.
Evidently, I'm the only one in here that's not in trouble.
Uh-oh. I mean, my mom's from Indiana, and my dad is from Montana.
Oh. See, you just have all sorts of problems.
Rut-row.
So, Joey, did you see the op-ed in the Cowpie from our pal Rod Miller?
Yeah, actually, I spoke with Tom Kelly about that. It'll be coming up on Wide Right Turn. We do a whole hour getting into this insanity. But what I found most interesting and really latched onto with what Rod said in his little temper tantrum in the Cowpie was these Freedom Caucus imports all claim that they are coming to Wyoming to make it a better place, that they want to help us. But think about that. If they are coming here to make things better, then why weren't they able to make things better in the places they came from? Did they lack the balls to stand up for their beliefs? Were they thwarted because they didn't have enough guns? Why put up with our wind and cold and isolation just so they can throw their weight around in politics? Come on, Rod. You know, I'm the guy that always reads between the lines, looks beneath what's being said. There is so much there that doesn't equate to even what I would consider Wyomingism, which is probably wrong, but why didn't we make it better where we came from? To me, that sounds a lot like, and I have plenty of examples of this, but sounds like, well, Christine, you're getting married to David and you guys are going to have a good marriage and it's going to be better than your last one. Didn't you just have the balls to stick around in your last marriage and make that better? I mean, that's what I hear from Rod Miller.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. You know, and I can go really deep into this. You know, what the Jews didn't have the balls to make Germany better, and the lucky ones are the ones that fled, but, you know, God forbid they actually went somewhere else and tried to have a presence or influence when they got there. It's ridiculous. And again, it goes back to, and we're going to get into a series of these stories because there's been about five or six of them where they're claiming some special ownership of this concept of Wyomingism. But there's no handbook. There's no list of principles. There's no platform. There's no curriculum of how to get there and become a Wyomingite. And I would say, first and foremost, it's a total failure of the people that claim to be superior Wyomingites, the pure bloods. You know, us mudblood muggles don't deserve to even do anything here but pay taxes. But if you can have a child in Wyoming, create the next generation of Wyomingite and teach them how to be real Wyomingites, there's got to be a process, a series of standards and principles and experiences that you can have to become a Wyomingite. And these people can shut the hell up, because the real problem is not people coming to Wyoming hoping to change it or save it or whatever we're being accused of. It's these multiple generations of Wyomingites who sat around here for almost 20 years doing nothing but expanding their land holdings and their water rights and running Wyoming into the ground. We're literally trying to save you from yourself.
Well, I don't know if you know, Joey, but David knows I have a very, specific opinion about Rod Miller. And that is, you know, he's your typical, he hides behind his keyboard. You know, he can talk the talk and say what he wants to say and act like a bully. And I've watched, you know, how he responds to people on Facebook and everything, you know, and he's always like, I said what I said and things. Well, I have a question for you, Rod Miller. Why is it that you have now twice dipped out on David for an in-person debate? Because he can talk his talk all he wants through op-eds or whatever, not op-eds, I'm sorry, but what he prints or how he talks to people on Facebook, but I don't know. He has no, whatever he says just goes in one ear and right out the other for me.
Well, Rod Miller and I have an interesting relationship. You know, the first time he was on the program, well, actually, what happened is I went after one of his op-eds, the one where he compared Trump voters to white supremacists and KKK members, and it was actually the first op-ed of his that I had ever read, and I went after him pretty hard. It was really early on in the program. Well, so he calls me and he goes, well, let's debate all this stuff. And he ended up, I mean, we had a good conversation, but he ended up getting beat pretty bad. At one, he wanted to talk about abortion, and right in the middle of it. I mean, I had him backed into a corner, and just all of a sudden he just says, "It's nothing but a clump of cells." Okay, really hideous stuff he was saying. So then about 8 months ago, he contacts me and he says, "Well, let's have a debate down in Cheyenne." And where it was left was, "Okay, Rod, find a venue and I'll be there." And that was where it was left.
Well, didn't he have a venue and then you guys had a date set? Because it was right after the Independence Network launched. It was going to be in November. And then nothing. It was just, yeah. And how many times did you try to contact him? And then he was saying, "Oh, you know, let's do it while we're at, or during the
session."
The session. And, you know, while everybody is in town for that, let's do it in front of everybody there. And then nothing.
Yeah, nothing happened. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's emblematic.
Well, I'll tell you, during the legislative session, I did approach Trotsky Wilson and said, "Hey, you know, we were supposed to have a debate last week with your boy Rod and, you know, David Iverson." He's like, "Oh, yeah, well, you know, I talked to Rod and I know Rod and I work with Rod. He definitely hasn't backed out. It's just he could never get a hold of David or get any of the details confirmed." So hearing that from Leo, knowing Leo, you know, as Christine has her opinion of Rod, I have mine as well, and of Leo. And the reason I'm not going to tell you about him is because David's made me promise not to say certain words on the morning show.
Yeah.
We're going to leave that there.
Well, I know that that's a lie in itself, because there I was driving David nuts coming home from work every day. "Hey, you know, anything from Rod Miller? Did you?" Well, I tried to call him and nothing, or I, you know, texted him or emailed him, nothing. So yeah, that's a bunch of BS, Leo.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so let's get to this whole, if you're not born here, you should just shut the heck up. There was an article in the Cow Pie entitled "Wyoming's Republican Factions Face Off for Battleground GOP Primary." And our pal, Poisonberry Crago, says the following. Well, the article says the following. Quote, Crago said Wyoming has developed a move-in politician problem, end quote. About a third of the Freedom Caucus are not Wyoming natives, and two new candidates who recently announced they are running for the House in Johnson and Sheridan counties moved into the state within the last 5 years. The only problem with that, Joey, is Mr. Crago has an affinity for rabbits. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard something about that, and I don't think he's the only one on the list.
No, no. In fact, go ahead.
I was going to say, let's get into what this article specifically said. First and foremost, about a third of the Freedom Caucus. Okay, we know that they include everybody that doesn't vote their way as a member of the Freedom Caucus, which isn't true. You have conservative representatives who are unaffiliated, who they just lop in there. So the number's even smaller. I think there's about 12 members of the Freedom Caucus.
Yeah, 12.
So about a third of those would be four whole people who aren't from Wyoming, which isn't even a majority of the Freedom Caucus. So really, you're complaining about a very minuscule number, about the equal number of Democrats, at least in the House. That if you want to have a problem with somebody and it's that small, take that pick. But a lot of the other individuals that are members of the Wyoming Caucus making these complaints, making these statements, they're not from Wyoming either.
Well, it's more than you would think, or more than they let on, Joey. So even if you're very generous, and let's just say that really Leo was talking about all the conservatives, so on a good day, 26, a third of that would be 8. So just going with their numbers, none of it's right, but for the sake of the article, we'll just go with it. Well, 38% of the Wyoming caucus, that would be the Redcoats, are not from Wyoming. Specifically, Barry Crago. He's from South Dakota.
Yeah, I would at least give it to him saying, "Hey, we know where you're from," as opposed to some of these other legislators that we don't really know where you're from or where you currently live. There's a lot of problems on the traditional Republican side of the legislature with not just, you know, the legitimacy they find in this multi-generational or lifelong Wyomingism, but in their current status and integrity on, do you even live in your district, or frat boy Cyrus Western, do you even live in the state of Wyoming currently? We have bigger problems than some undefined, out in the ether opinion that has no merit based on you're not really from here. Because if it was really a problem, then they'd be supporting people like Ken Pendergraft, who's been here, one of their multi-generational Wyoming guys. Hey, no problem. You know how Wyoming works because your family's been here for five generations. It's not an evenly applied principle. It's not well-defined. And again, they don't provide us. These are the standards. These are the principles. And this is the process for becoming a Wyomingite. Somehow, Clark Stith, being from, I believe, Kansas, achieved Wyomingism. I don't know how he did it, but in their own complaint, there's proof that there's got to be a pathway to attaining this Wyomingism because some of their buddies have apparently done it without having been born in Wyoming or having, you know, nine generations of their family, you know, living on this land.
Well, Joey, since we're talking about this, I don't know if you're one to keep checking up on Gail Simmons' Facebook page or not.
No, you have to say that right. Oh. Gail Simmons.
Well, however you said it. Gail Simmons. Have you looked at that lately on her Facebook?
No, I tend not to keep up with the lowest vote getting alternate delegate for the Sheridan County Republican Party to the state convention. It's really a waste of my time, but I hear it's entertaining. Why don't you hit me with what you got? And I'm sure I'll get a laugh out of it.
Okay, well, she had posted something. It looks like it might have been yesterday. And it says, what does it mean to be a Republican and who decides that? And then she goes on and says, the second question is really easy to answer as a question of Wyoming law. According to Title 22 of the Wyoming statutes, political party affiliation is declared by the qualified elector at the time they are registered to vote upon declaring a change subject to restrictions on timing. In plain terms, it's a personal decision to voluntarily associate as a member of a particular political party. Hello, First Amendment. Perhaps a better question is, who gets to decide who is not a Republican? Well, it is not the same random stranger on social media site. It is not the elected leadership of either a county or state central committee. It's not even a given member of the political party. In fact, it is no one except the registered voter themselves. Otherwise, those other individuals have opinions which have absolutely no weight.
Oh, well, of course, Gail Simmons is going to say stuff like that. Well, it's interesting that she would bring up the question of how does one figure out if you're a Republican or not. Because Gail Simmons and all of the redcoats that she defends, I don't think that they fit the definition of what a Republican is. Or should I say what we consider the definition of a Republican to be. And whether I agree with it or not, the Wyoming Republican Party has said that if you agree with 80% of the Republican Party platform, then we would consider you a Republican. The problem with Gail Simmons and all of these redcoats is most of them don't agree with the Republican Party platform. And frankly, Joey, and this has been my main complaint all along, that I look at our platform and I can't find one thing that I even disagree with in the slightest. But you have all of these folks. Gail Simmons is a perfect example of this. And then all the redcoats down in the legislature, most of them don't even know what's in the Republican Party platform, nor have they ever read it. But if you ask them, oh, yeah, of course I agree with 80% of it, but they can't point to which 80% they agree with.
Bazinga.
Yeah, I've had that run in with a couple of current candidates, which are starting to multiply. There we're getting more people running for office right now. But asking if you support the Republican Party platform is kind of a cheapskate way of giving them the opportunity to lie to you. I always ask, do you support the Republican Party platform? What is your most precious or favorite plank in the platform? And are there any planks that you disagree with? And that add-on to the question is where you catch them, because they can't tell you. And it proves out that they don't know what they're talking about. They're just trying to get elected. And I more appreciate any individual candidate that says, well, you know, I've got this one plank that I don't necessarily agree with. At least they're being honest. And I'll give integrity way more credit than perceived Republicanism. And it's funny what Gail points out in her little tirade there, that, oh, here's the legal process to becoming a Republican. Okay. Well, then that argument, again, I'm going to use their words against them as often as I can. Your argument should also apply to this Wyomingism argument. in order to be a registered voter, regardless of what party you go into, in Wyoming, all you have to be is a undefined, quote unquote, bona fide Wyoming resident. Now, the legislature won't define bona fide, but you only have to live in the state for 30 days. That's Wyoming enough for them to let you vote in the state. To run for office, the legislative districts, you have to have lived in for a year. To run for governor, you have to live here for 5 years. So if we're just going to go what's on paper, what makes you really this thing, that thing, or this definition, okay, fine. Then all of these other arguments are nil, because all you have to do is be in Wyoming for 30 days and you can be a member of the electorate. You only have to live here a year and you can run for these offices that they say are so, you know, being taken over by out-of-staters. You can't present a principle on one side of the argument and not have it equally apply across all arguments. So, Gail, once again, you're out of your mind. You're pointing to the wrong thing. What does it take to sign up to be a Republican on paper? Has nothing to do, and this is why I use the term liberty-minded constitutional conservative other than Republican in most cases, because I don't care if you have an opinion, like Gail said, about what party I'm affiliated with. I care about the principles. And I could very easily leave the Republican Party and not lose anything other than my ability to speak up at some of the meetings. Not a problem, because my principles will go with me. My abilities will go with me. And the bottom line is, do the people of Wyoming believe in the principles and the actions an individual takes? Regardless, this is the argument we've been having for years. Not what is a Republican, can we kick people out of the party, of what is expected if you're going to ride with the brand that we all believe in based on certain principles. And you're right. Most of these people, including Gail Simmons and the people she supports, don't. They only want to claim the title, the association, because of the political capital that comes along with it. I don't really care. Liz Cheney did the same thing. Oh, that's not real Republicanism. I've been a Republican my whole life. And okay, fine, whatever. What are your principles? And we saw Liz Cheney's principles. We saw her real ideals. We saw her lack of integrity, and we booted her ass.
Well, for me, it's the biggest problem I have with all these folks is their hypocrisy. That on they'll say one thing in public, and then, you know, with the red coats, they go to Cheyenne and they do something different. Or with it's when it's Gail Simmons, when she's running for a precinct position, which I really hope she gets beat out of this time. It's, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, but you watch what she does at the legislature, and she'll advocate for every red coat policy you can think of. And just to give you some other examples of people in the legislature, members of the Wyoming caucus who are not Wyoming natives, as Poisonberry Crago says, our boy Landon Brown is from Colorado. Ken Clouston is from North Dakota. John Conrad is from Ohio. I knew there was something wrong with that guy, even though we've got a couple friends in Ohio. Of course, Barry Crago was born in Belfouche, South Dakota. Lloyd Larson's from Utah. Martha Lawley's from Louisiana. Sandbags Newsom, she's from Colorado, too. Maybe she's been hanging out with Cyrus Western. Tony Nemec is also from Ohio. Kevin O'Hearn, you got to really watch that guy. He's from Delaware. Jerry Obermuller's from Texas. We mentioned that Clark Stith is from Kansas, and Dave Zwanitzer isn't from here either. So all of these people who are members of the Wyoming caucus, and frankly, I don't know how you can be a member of the Wyoming caucus if you're not from Wyoming, Barry Crago. But, I mean, the hypocrisy of these people knows no bounds. They'll say one thing in the cowpie, and they do that. They say those things because they think that it resonates with Wyoming citizens. Because there's this innate belief or feeling, I guess, that, you know, if you're not from here, you don't really understand how the state works. Well, frankly, there's a lot of things that are screwed up in our state. And maybe if you've traveled outside of Wyoming at any point in your life, you would have seen where that state perhaps is doing something wrong. And maybe it's something that you don't want to see done wrong here. One guy in Buffalo that I tagged in one of my posts about this whole, you know, not from Wyoming business is he's a former Marine, moved to Buffalo not that long ago, bought a big house. He's the guy that runs the shooting complex in Buffalo. Really, really conservative guy. And that was his point. You know, everybody that he knows that I've met in Johnson County that's moved here from a different place, is extraordinarily conservative, way more conservative than Barry Crego or Clark Stith or Landon Brown. And the reason that they moved to Wyoming was to get out of the hellhole that they were living in before. Most of them have moved here from Colorado and California. So, you know, just because you're from a different place doesn't mean you don't have something to contribute. Secondly, it probably allows you to see problems coming way down the line. You know, we mentioned our pal Tom Kelly is a really good example of that. He moved here from Illinois. Don't tell me that Illinois doesn't have problems that he doesn't want to see happen here.
Well, and let's just discuss about all the new clients I have in my chair lately at the salon that are moving here. I've had two from Georgia, Alaska, Oregon, Washington, South Carolina, and California. And I kind of tiptoe at first around conversations and stuff, but they always tend to bring up politics with me. And it's really interesting because all these people that are new in my seat at the salon that have moved here from out of state are actually super conservative. And I've had a couple of them say that they feel like that really Wyoming is their last resort. So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah, there's just so much BS. I mean, this is why it comes out of the cow pie. It's a big steaming pile. And if you do what I've been doing, which is take what they're saying and try to apply it equally or get down to what the real principle and standard is, they have nothing. You know, I've said repeatedly, multi-generational Wyomingism is not personal merit. Joe Barbuto, the chairman of the Democrat Party in Wyoming, is a fifth-generation Wyomingite. He's never done anything good for Wyoming. He doesn't care about, you know, Wyoming traditions, Wyoming people. He wants to turn this place into a giant drag show. And there's just, there doesn't seem to be any solid standard or process. Like I said, there's no handbook for what it means to be a Wyoming citizen, a Wyomingite, whatever they're going to call it. But the other question I have, and this is coming from the largely liberal side of the Republican Party. Okay, you're saying this about the legislature, but you also spend hundreds of millions of dollars a decade on a Wyoming business council that continues to try to bring in businesses from other states. Well, isn't that bad for Wyoming? Those aren't Wyoming businesses. What about all of these liberal East and West Coast professors at the University of Wyoming teaching our kids how to be Wyomingites? How would they even know how to do that? They're not from here. Why are we wasting all this money violating this apparent principle that's been a long-held standard and understanding of the multi-generational Wyomingite faction? If it's truly a problem, why would we start with the legislature? Why aren't we starting with educators? Why aren't we starting with businesses? And why are we assuming that Wyoming could even survive with out-of-state transplants? You think that the last census numbers had to do with the fact that there was a robust, I don't know, harvest of babies that came up in the last 10 years? No. Our birth rate is down. Our death rate is up. The elderly are dying. Young people aren't staying here long enough to start families in Wyoming. And the only reason Wyoming had any type of maintaining its population or even slightly increasing its population was because of the contributions of people who come from out of state. Good, bad, or indifferent, they're here now. They are part of this system. And for as long as they're living here and paying taxes, they should be able to have a voice too. We should be able to have a voice too. And I'm going to continue to hammer the point. Tell me how long I have to be here and what test I have to pass to be considered a Wyomingite. Otherwise, I'm going to keep proving you wrong in your standards and your practices.
Well, really, the only measure of whether or not somebody is a Republican, I find this whole Wyomingite, you know, how long do you have to live here? You're not a real Wyoming. I find that whole argument specious. The part that interests me is who decides whether or not you're a Republican. Now, Christine pointed out that Gail Simmons says, well, you know, it's you decide. But really, isn't it your fellow Republicans that decide whether or not you're following the precepts or the virtues or the principles of the Republican Party? I mean, it's really the grassroots. And there were a couple of folks over in Riverton, Fremont County, that they sort of took issue with what some of their elected representatives were doing and in the legislature. What do you got on that, Joey?
Oh, yeah, that's fun. I'll compare it real quick to when they kept telling us during COVID, the consensus of scientists. You're right. It has nothing to do with who's actually doing real science, who's a real Republican. It's the consensus of the body, the consensus of the industry, the peer-reviewed group that says yes or no, even if it's not real. So Gail trying to define it on her own, yeah, that doesn't work because she's a lone voice who tends to be alone a lot in these arguments. Let's see. Yeah, we have kind of an example of that coming out of Fremont County. Apparently, at the county convention for Fremont County last weekend, maybe the weekend before, I'm not sure, there was a censure resolution that came up on Ember Oakley. Now, I read the resolution, and I get what they're trying to say. I don't agree with the way the resolution was formatted and the points that it made, but being a political junkie and keeping my, you know, eyes on what's going on out there on the playing field, I agree with the fact that there is a concern about the activity of Ember Oakley, the actions of Representative Ember Oakley not representing the will of her constituents in the Republican Party in Fremont County. And I really can't argue with whether it was a good idea or a bad idea to censure her, because again, like I said, that's a consensus of the people affected. So the people affected there in Fremont County decided, yeah, we got a problem with this. We can get into the conversation how censure is overused, misused, this, that, and the other. But the bottom line is, it's the voice of the people that she claims to represent who have every right to say, our consensus is, you're not doing the job we want you to do under our brand.
Couple of things about that. All of these censure resolutions came out of their county convention. And this is a little bit of inside baseball here, but most of the people that attend a Republican county convention don't really participate in the party year-round. Now, what I mean is they don't participate in county central committee meetings, which typically in counties that are run well, you have one meeting a quarter. But most of the people that show up to convention are not those folks that go to the state or the county convention meetings. Now I'm getting all tongue-tied. That don't show up to the county central committee meetings. There are a lot of people that they just want to go to the state convention, and this year it's being held in Cheyenne. But throughout the year, they're not the folks that show up meeting after meeting and participate in the resolutions and travel to the state central committee meetings. So it's notable that all these censures came out of the county convention, because you had a lot larger percentage of the people participating than you would normally. So a bigger segment of the Republican Party. Secondly, it wasn't just Ember Oakley that they censured. It was Ember Oakley, Lloyd Larson, and our pal Nancy Case. All three of them got censured, or all three of, you know, three of their representatives for to the state legislature got censured. Now, I think that that's important because a censure really is, and Joey, you might disagree with me on this, but a censure is really the only thing that a county Republican Party or the state Republican Party, for that matter, can do to an elected official. We don't have a recall statute where we can say, you know, you're not representing us, get your butt back home. We can't do that. So a censure is really the only thing that we can do. And I think it's notable that three of them got censured at the same meeting and that it was a bigger segment of the county Republican Party.
I won't disagree. It's always better when you have a broader base to justify your actions with. So it is important that it happened at the county convention. I don't know that these censures will rise to the level of the state convention. I don't know exactly what they're going for there, but they are all state legislators. So I think we've had in the past, and it is appropriate for the state to consider it if it's presented. And there was one more censure I heard about coming from a Frontier Republican, and I don't know what the game was they were playing, but there was an additional censure of Liz Cheney that I heard got tossed in the mix, which, again, now at this point doesn't make any sense. She's not a representative for the Congress here in Wyoming. She's not even a Wyoming resident. We have no affiliation with her. But you're right. A censure is specifically a formal statement of disagreement with the action, singular or actions, a, you know, series of votes against an elected representative for immediate attention on a situation. We do have the ability to vote out our elected officials. But I think that censure is the first step in getting ready to do that and saying, hey, we need to change it up because we don't have any immediate relief. We don't have a way to recall. We don't have a way of holding accountable these people who say they're representing our brand and our ideals and then go off to Cheyenne and Oakley it up all over the place. Now, there is one other thing the party can do, and we've done this in the past. Some brilliant guy out there wrote a resolution removing the recognition of Liz Cheney as a Republican. And that was a big statement. That's what got the national RNC group to vote to censure and full recognition of Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney. First time ever in history. So that's a further step. But again, they're all, you know, you'll hear it in the cow pie and you'll hear all the red coats complaining about it. Oh, this is just a ceremonial. This isn't really hold any weight or a weight of law or actionable. Well, yeah, because we don't have any actionable authority. But I wouldn't say it doesn't hold weight when you have a group of people, especially delegates to the county convention, which is a larger swath of the electorate, saying, we don't like what you're doing and we're going to hold you accountable. It should be taken seriously, especially in an election year.
Well, that's the whole point, is to get people to pay attention. Say, this group disagrees with the actions of one of its members. But I might also point out that the resolution to not recognize Liz Cheney as a Republican may have been brilliant, but it was also incredibly humble.
Yeah. Because that is the attribute that the author exhibits the most, is, you know, being humble and having humility. It wasn't my idea. I did write author that resolution, but really what it came from was listening to the grassroots when they asked that question. Other than a censure, what else can we do? This is ridiculous. This is not, you know, moving fast enough. And people got to realize, the resolution of censure against Liz Cheney eventually would have made its way to the RNC, but it was that last little push that made it only take 18 months. Nothing moves fast in politics. And believe me, people, you don't want things to move fast in politics. You'll be sorry if we start speeding up this process. But yeah, it was what seems to be the biggest complaint is what garners the best results is, these people aren't following our principles, our standards, or even listening to us, the constituents, the grassroots. So when you actually have somebody or a group of people who will go back and listen to and put down on paper the words and the concerns of the grassroots and hold someone accountable, at least on paper, it does carry weight. You know, again, I'm not going to take credit for having authored these two resolutions when it comes to Liz Cheney, because it really was the people. And hey, if you want to say, well, I live in that area and I didn't feel that way, show up. Get involved. Make your voice heard. Maybe we would have less censures if we had more people involved. Probably because we'd have more accountability from a larger group of active people. But, you know, if you just want to sit around, wait for an election every 2 years, cast your single vote and say, well, I did my duty and I'll just sit around and be pissed at the people who like or don't like whatever ends up coming out of this. You know, I'm sorry, you can't Monday morning quarterback everything in Wyoming politics.
I think you're exactly right. I run into these people all the time that, oh, they complain on social media and, you know, they'll write these long diatribes about who's right, who's wrong, their opinion's right, whatever. But when you ask them, okay, so what have you done? You know, how have you tried to get involved? Have you gone to a Republican Party meeting? Have you set up a precinct meeting in your neighborhood? Have you held a barbecue in the park where you could talk about some of these things? Have you raised money to, you know, advocate for those causes that you believe in? And invariably the question or the answer you get is, well, no. Okay, well, if you want to change your government, if you want to clean up the little swamp that you happen to live in, you need to get involved. You need to do something. And it's, I mean, there's lots of examples statewide of, you know, normal everyday citizens getting pissed off at their government and making a change. You know, in Johnson County, you know, the Central, Barry Crago Central. They tried to pass a sales tax a couple of years ago, and a group of citizens got together, and we said, no, we're not going to do that. And we ended up beating the tax 72% to 28%. a classic example of grassroots activism and what you can do in your local community. Well, that'll do it for today's installment of Morning Reload. Have a good week, and we'll talk again on Wednesday. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.